Ruth chapter 4. We'll be reading the entire chapter together, but we'll be focusing our time on the last verses from 13 through 22. This is the word of our God. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend. Sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, 'Buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people.' If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it. And I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead among or through his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate, the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. You may be seated. Security is what the world is looking for, isn't it? In the financial sector, they have securities, safe investments, I guess you could say. People are looking for security in retirement, 401ks, retirement savings plan. We have security forces, military units tasked with ensuring the stability of a region. There's even a security council at the United Nations. No doubt you have security at your home, locks upon your doors, and maybe even a security alarm that you set every night before you go to bed or when you leave the house. Bomb shelters, tornado shelters, fire shelters, homeless shelters, security in friendships, relationships, marriages, and homes. Security is something that the world is looking for. Security is something that we're all looking for. Why? Why are we looking for security? Because we live in a hostile world, in a hostile society. Just think not was it this past week that a couple of young men shot someone point blank in the middle of the night as he tried to stop them from breaking into their vehicle. Even here in our own city, we live in a very hostile world. Can you think of ways in which you are seeking security? Are you finding security in those things? Are you depending upon them for your security? Security today, tomorrow, for retirement? What are you trusting for your security? But have you ever given much thought to your own spiritual security? The safety of your own soul, not just in this life, but in the life that is to come. In our text, you'll see that the Lord provides security for his people by providing a near redeemer, and ultimately by providing for your eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the last portion of the book of Ruth. You'll remember that Ruth is written sometime during the time of the judges. It's really hard to nail down, to pin down exactly when this account takes place. But what's interesting about this account is that it's such a marked contrast with everything else that you've read and heard about in the book of Judges, where in the book of Judges you have that cycle of disobedience, despair, discipline. Thank you. Disobedience, discipline, despair, and finally deliverance. That cycle that goes on over and over and over again. And things don't get better. Things get worse and worse, so that the people of God are less inclined to turn toward him, to serve him. And right in the middle of all of that, you have this beautiful story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. A stark contrast to the judgment and the ungodliness that is taking place. And you might, you could be forgiven for thinking that there is nothing good in Israel. And yet, that is absolutely not true. For God continues to preserve a people for himself, as the book of Ruth clearly shows you. As the book opens, you remember that Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they go to the land of Moab because there is a famine in the land. And Elimelech dies, Mahlon dies, Chilion dies, and Naomi is left all alone, except that she now has two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And Orpah remains among her people, but Ruth is determined to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to take care of her and provide for her. And you have that beautiful confession of faith by Ruth where she says, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me." And this is at the from the lips of Ruth. Now, what's unique about Ruth? You remember, she is a Moabitess. She is not of the line or the lineage of Abraham. She was a woman who was outside of God's covenant promises. She was a woman who was an alien and a stranger. And yet by the confession of her faith, the confession of her lips, she claims the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, of the people of Israel, as her own God. And so they return, and they are in the midst of much poverty. They're both widowed women. There's no husband or son to take care of or provide for them. And so Naomi orchestrates or asks Ruth to go and to glean among the fields in order that they might have something for the coming winter. And there Ruth meets Boaz. And Boaz is pleased and accepts her. And eventually Ruth asks Boaz, if he might provide security for her and for Naomi. For remember that Ruth went to the threshing floor where Boaz was working at night. In the middle of the night, she uncovers his feet and lays down at his feet. And then she asks him if he would take her under his wings. Boaz, very pleased to do so, immediately goes to the city gates and seeks the right of redemption from a relative that is nearer to her. And you saw last time that Boaz negotiated that redemption in order to carry on the family name and the family line of Elimelech by raising up an heir through Ruth by taking Ruth as Boaz's wife. And you saw the last time then that the Lord secures redemption for his people through a kinsman redeemer, a near relative, in fulfillment of what the Lord had taught his people in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. And I want to show you, by God's grace, that God blesses his people with redemption and security. God blesses his people with redemption and security. You will see the reward of redemption, the recipient of redemption, and the result of the redemption. The reward of redemption, the recipient, and the result of redemption. Notice, first of all, the reward of redemption. Naomi, who had been emptied of all that she had, now receives through Ruth everything that she needs for security. After having negotiated the right of redemption for the land and for taking Ruth as his own wife, we're told that Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bore a son. This is what Ruth had been hoping for. Even as her heart sunk when Boaz said, "There is a nearer kinsman redeemer," her heart was raised up and filled with joy when Boaz was the one who would provide that redemption. And as we said last time, Boaz is in a hurry to accomplish this redemption. When Ruth asks, "Take me under your wing," immediately that night, the next morning, he goes and he negotiates in order to be able to obtain the right of redemption. And now we're told that he simply took Ruth and she became his wife. We don't know how long after that it took place, but it no doubt was very soon. Boaz, not being an extremely young man, but an older gentleman, would have wanted to consummate this marriage as quickly as possible. And in this verse, you have compressed some 9+ months. For Ruth goes into her, consummates the marriage, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Notice it says that the Lord gave conception. This is the second time where the Lord is, in this book, where the Lord is directly active. Remember what Naomi says after she had returned from the land of Moab. "The Lord has emptied me from everything that I had. He has brought me home empty." But now the Lord gives conception. He blesses the union of Boaz and Ruth. And just think about it for a moment. He gave conception. Ruth had been married to Mahlon for how long? Well, about maybe 10 years, maybe a little less than that. We don't really know. But she had been married for a decent amount of time. And she had conceived no children. She was infertile. They had no heir in order to pass on Elimelech's line. That was the problem. That is why Boaz had to redeem Ruth and the land. But now the Lord gives conception. The Lord blesses her and Boaz. And why? Because the Lord is fulfilling his purposes through her. And we're told that she bore a son, a male child, to carry on the family name of Elimelech. You see the Lord's hand in all of this, in the birth of the child, and in all of the events that are taking place. And Ruth's son, we're told, is a blessing. For the women said to Naomi, and now it's interesting that after this verse, you don't read much of Ruth anymore, at least not directly. There is one more reference to her later on in the verses, But now, who is the focus? The focus is on Naomi, the one who had said to the women when she had returned from Moab, "Don't call me pleasantness," which is what Naomi means. "Call me Mara. Call me bitter." She said, the women say to him, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative." Blessed here is used synonymously for praise. For we cannot add anything to God's glory, to God's character, to God's goodness. We can delight in and exalt him. We can bless him for all that he is and all that he does. And that's what the women are doing. Blessed be the Lord. Praised be the Lord. And why? He has not left you without a redeemer. Remember, everything appeared to be lost for Naomi. Everything. She had nothing. There was no food in Bethlehem. They went to Moab where there was food, and she lost her husband. She lost her sons. She returns with only a daughter-in-law. She has no place really to stay. She has no inheritance that belongs to her husband. She is indeed truly emptied. But the women, with the birth of this son, declare that he has not left you empty. He has not left you this day without a close relative, without a kinsman redeemer, without one to restore the inheritance of his brother, without one to restore what once had been lost. Now, some believe that this reference to the kinsman redeemer is a reference to Obed, who is to provide security for Naomi in her old age. But I think it's better to understand that this is a reference to Boaz, who has been consistently called the Goel throughout this book, the kinsman redeemer. And later on, Boaz is listed in the genealogy, not Elimelech, whose family name Obed was to continue on. Blessed is the Lord who has redeemed you, who has given you a close relative. May his name, that is the name of Boaz, be famous in Israel. That is well known, frequently spoken of. This is a reference to the kinsman redeemer. And you already know with what respect Boaz was looked upon. He was well respected in the community by the people. And now he would be well known. For everyone would hear what he had done for Naomi through Ruth the Moabitess, the foreigner, taking her as his own wife in order that he might provide an heir to carry on the name of the family of Elimelech. And so this son, this kinsman redeemer, is a blessing. May his name literally be called out in Israel. There's a lesson here for you and for me, that the Lord continues to provide for his people at just the right time. You know how it is when everything seems lost, when you have nothing anymore, you're at your wit's end to know how to deal with this situation, to know what to do here, how to provide for yourself. Perhaps you've lost a job and you don't know, how am I going to provide for my family? Isn't it amazing that at every time, at just the right time, God provides for his people? You see, God works according to his schedule. He follows his own perfect plan. It may not be the way that you would have done it, but it's not your plan. It's God's plan. And God worked for Naomi through Ruth and Boaz in providing her security at just the right time. And the women continue, "And may he be a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." Here this is a reference, I believe, to Obed. For Obed is the one who would protect Naomi, who would eventually provide for her needs and sustenance, who'd give her security in her old age. You see, the restorer of life. He would be a continuation of the family line of Elimelech and a nourisher of your old age, provide sustenance and security in your weakness and in your frailty. And then they refer to Ruth, "For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better than seven sons, for she has borne him." Can you imagine that Ruth is compared to seven sons? That the daughter-in-law is better than seven sons? Usually you hear all these jokes about mothers-in-laws and daughters-in-laws and so on, right? Well, here's a daughter-in-law who was a blessing to Naomi, a blessing to Elimelech, even though he had died because she bore a son to carry on the family name. This number seven refers to the number, is the number of fullness. She is better than seven perfect sons, as it were. Her noble character had excelled in her loving kindness towards Naomi. Everybody knew her reputation, that though she was a foreigner and a Moabitess and a pagan, she had a remarkable godly character. And she bore this child for her mother-in-law. Not that she didn't want a child of her own, but she knew that this child was special, destined for something else. And Ruth, she had taken and confessed that Naomi's God would be her God. What a wonderful blessing this daughter-in-law was for her. For Ruth is an example of a godly commitment lived out in one's life. She was filled with selflessness, and she was filled with care. She was filled with more than selflessness. There was this sacrificial giving, this sacrificial understanding, this sacrificial compassion. There was this willingness to be second, to place someone else ahead of one's own self. She was really willing to listen, to really hear what the other says and respond to that and not to preconceived conceptions. Ruth was an example of godliness for all of us to follow. Why? Because she followed God. She had her eyes fixed upon something more than what lay in store right in front of her. She had her eyes fixed upon the promise of God, upon the promise of a Messiah, on the promise of a Redeemer that is yet to come. For no doubt she had heard that from Ruth, or from Naomi, and from Elimelech, and Mahlon, and Chilion, as they spoke about their God and what he had done for them, for his people, for the people of Israel. For you see, God blesses his people with redemption and security. Naomi receives Ruth and Boaz's child as a blessing of redemption. We're told that Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom. She took the child. She received it as if it were her own. Maybe you can relate to this, but I know that every time, let's say my brother or my sister would have a child, you know, a little. So I have a niece or a nephew or somebody that I knew had a child. I'd hold them for a little bit and say, "Oh, that's nice," and then quickly give them back. But when the Lord gave me my own children, and I could hold those children in my own hands, I didn't want to give those children back. And I know the Lord hasn't blessed all of us in that same way, but we've all been children at one point in time or another. And I trust that the Lord has, that we have been embraced in that sort of a way. Naomi took this child, received this child as if it were her own, as if he were her own, and she loved him. And we're told she laid him on her bosom. That is, she embraced him, held him tight, hugged him when he needed it, encouraged him, and was a place of comfort and refuge for him. And we're told she became a nurse to him. Not feeding him from her bosom, but teaching him, raising him, applying band-aids and discipline as it were required. That term in the original for bosom is a term that's also is applied to women, but also to men. It is used in the sense of embracing, where Sarah, remember when in Genesis 16, when Sarah was upset with Abraham after having given her her handmaiden, Sarah says to Abram, "I gave my maid into your embrace, that is, into your bosom. And now look at how she is treating me." And remember Exodus chapter 4, when Moses was speaking with the Lord before the burning bush, and he was being sent to go into the land of Egypt. Moses, we are told, put his hand into his what? Into his bosom. And he pulled it out, and his hand was as white as leprosy. He put his hand back into his bosom and pulled it out, and it was restored as a whole. And then we have the picture in Isaiah 40 of the Lord who will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are without or who are with young. You see, Naomi took this child into her bosom as a place of security, a place of rest, of hope, of comfort. Obed found all of that with Naomi, her grandmother. For indeed, this child was raised to be an heir, raised to be a son for Naomi, that the family name of Elimelech may continue. But this child also was given a name. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Literally, the women called or proclaimed his name. They were part of the naming process. How that was, we're unsure, but we know that they contributed to Obed's name. You see, Obed is his name, which is short for servant, or short for Obadiah, servant of Yah, servant of the Lord. And Obed was called Obed, a servant. For he was the child who was to serve Naomi, to provide security for Naomi in her old age, even as Naomi embraced him in his young age and provided him with security. And what is the connection? Why is this child so important? In fact, the whole book has been moving towards the birth of this child. Because Obed, we are told, became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now you begin to see it. For though the focus may have been on Obed, really the focus isn't on Obed, but on his grandson, his son who was yet to be born. Suddenly you see the connection. The book of Ruth is not a romance novel. It's not a romance story. Nor is it simply an example of faithfulness. The account is important in understanding the godly character and background of King David, whom you remember was a man after God's own heart. And what's interesting is, you'll see in a moment, that David was not of a pure Jewish bloodline. He had Moabite blood in him. He had Canaanite blood in him. And yet the Lord uses him to be the king of his people. David, his faith in God and his promises, this shows that it's faith in God and his promises that makes one a Jew ultimately, not one's bloodlines. Sure, the Old Testament, the bloodlines in the Old Testament were important, but so was faith. Remember Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and even Bathsheba down the line. They also were faithful. They contributed to that godly heritage of King David. For God blesses his people with redemption and security. And what I want you to see here is that Naomi's blessing of redemption prepares for the coming of the Redeemer. Notice the last verses. This is the genealogy of Perez. This is the, in the Hebrew, toledot, the generations of Perez. It's that same term that's used throughout the book of Judges for the book of Genesis for those genealogies. The genealogy is being used to establish the family connections. And so you see that Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Notice that term, begot. The word in the original is used to mean a single generation, a father to a son, or a mother to a daughter. The word begot never skips a generation. There are those that would argue that in the genealogies, there are gaps that you can't quite reconcile the names with the generations, with the time, and so on. And yet, the text of the scripture says that Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and so on. Father to son, to grandson, to great-grandson, and so on. Well, who was Perez? Perez was the son of Judah and Tamar. And you remember in the Levirate law, where the husband's brother was to raise up an heir for his brother if he died without having children. Well, Judah became the redeemer of Tamar. For Tamar had married who was a wicked man, and the Lord killed. And Onan was to raise up an heir for but he refused, and the Lord killed him. And Shelah was too young to be given as husband, and Judah was afraid that he was going to lose Shelah as well. And so he holds him back, and holds him back, and holds him back. And finally Tamar realizes that she's never going to be given Shelah as husband. She'll never be able to raise up a family, an heir for her husband. And so what does she do? She tricks Judah, pretends to be a harlot, and Judah becomes the one who restores and carries on his own family line, because twins were born from Tamar, Perez and Zerah, of whom the whole of the tribe of Judah grew and became powerful. And Perez begot Hezron, who begot Ram, which means exalted. Amminadab was begotten by Ram, whose name means my father's brother is generous. Nashon was the leader of the tribe of Judah during the wilderness wanderings. And Salmon was his son. Salmon may have been one of the young men who entered into the promised land and spied out Jericho. For Salmon, we're told in Matthew, married Rahab. Rahab the harlot, the one who hid the two spies and kept them safe before the Israelites captured Jericho. And Salmon was the father of Boaz, who became the father of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was King David's father. For you see, David, as has been said before, was a man after God's own heart. And what is it that God promised to King David? He promised that he would establish his kingdom forever, that there would be one who would sit on the throne of David whose kingdom would never end. You see, the greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one to whom these promises have been made. And the blessing of Obed's birth points to the greater blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ that is to come. Sure, Obed preserves Elimelech's family line through Boaz. It fulfills, but it's even more than that. Obed's birth fulfills God's redemptive plan and purposes. For Obed's birth prepares for the birth of King David, which cements the blessing of God that a son will sit on your throne forever. For you see, God blesses his people with redemption and security. Naomi had nothing. When she returned to the land of Judah, to Bethlehem, she was empty, completely empty. There was no hope for her at the beginning of the account. And yet here, at the end, she has been filled. She has been filled with the blessing of God. She has been filled with an heir. And what's more, the Lord is going to use her and her own family in being a blessing for the whole world. For you see, the book of Ruth is about God's redemptive work in history. It's about how God preserves his people through the mediation of a perfect mediator. How God preserves his people in the midst of opposition, in the midst of decadence and rebellion and disobedience. God yet preserves men and women who will follow him. It's about how God calls men and women from every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue to himself, and unites them by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ruth is about how God preserves for himself a family line through whom he would redeem his people from their sin. Ruth isn't about romance. It isn't about Naomi's security. Things look bleak: famine, abandonment, loss, hope, despair. Now they look promising: blessing, redemption, security, hope. Everything in the book of Ruth points beyond the characters, points to God and to his sovereign work in the hearts and lives of people. Ruth is about the redemption of all God's people through our kinsman, redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the only hope any man has of redemption and reconciliation with the holy God. Jesus is the only hope of the church. Jesus is the only hope for you and me. In this story of the book of Ruth is the story of how your Redeemer came to walk the face of this earth. It's the story of how your Redeemer came to march toward that cross on Calvary and die upon it. That's what the book of Ruth is all about. Are you struggling? Do you feel empty, hopeless, in despair? Flee to the bosom of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For only in Christ will you find security for this life and the one that is to come. Yes, things might look bleak. You might feel like you're empty, but there is hope. There is encouragement because your Redeemer lives. He reigns and he rules forever, and he's watching over you, and he's guiding all of the affairs and everything that is taking place in your life, and he's doing it for the praise and glory of his name and for your good. Do you believe that? Do you know that? You see, he provides security not just in the difficult times, but in the good times as well. Oh, that the church would lean on the Redeemer more and more in our day. Oh, that the church would proclaim the Redeemer faithfully from the pulpit by pulpit. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are without the kinsman Redeemer, then you are empty, like Ruth was emptied. Your security, whatever security that might be, is temporary. It will soon fail. You may have the world, but you'll lose your soul unless you embrace the Redeemer, unless he embraces you in his bosom. For it is only in union with Christ, the kinsman Redeemer, that you will find your security. So in what do you find your security in this life? Is it in the things of the world? If so, you will be disappointed. Is your hope of security in Christ? Then you are secure. No one can take it away from you. No one can tear it from you. No one can beat it out of you. That's what our brothers and sisters in the world are finding and facing today. For their security is not in this life, but is in the life that is to come. If your hope is in security is in Christ, you are secure. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Put your confidence and trust in Christ. There is no greater security than in the bosom of your kinsman Redeemer, the living and true God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who alone redeems his people. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that we might live out of that redemption, that we might know Christ, our Redeemer, that he might be more precious to us. And when we are weak, when we struggle, when we fail, we ask that he might encourage us, that we might find our hope and our encouragement in him. Lord, go with us in this week that lies ahead. Give us strength for the activities that are yet to come. And we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.